Welcome to the Ames International School of Ministry podcast with your host and instructor, Pastor Vince Rizzo. And now with today's lesson, here's Pastor Vince.
Welcome back to the podcast. This is going to be chapter 11, lesson 11, which will be on perfection. This is the last lesson in the Foundations of Faith course. And for the objectives, upon completion of this chapter, you're going to be able to write the key verse from memory. You're going to be able to define perfection. You're going to be able to identify the example of perfection for believers. You'll be able to name the standard of perfection for believers. And you'll be able to distinguish between initial and progressive perfection. And lastly, you're going to be able to list factors involved in the perfection process. Our key verse is found in Matthew 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. So as an introduction, just as a good foundation is important to a building in the natural world, which we discussed in Lesson 1, a good spiritual foundation is important for the believer. Through the parable of the two builders, you learned in Lesson 1 that your spiritual foundation must be built on the Word of God. Hebrews 6, 1-3 reveals that the foundations of the Christian faith are as follows: repentance from dead works, faith towards God, the doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And we've dealt with all these in the other lessons. These are the basic doctrines of the Word of God, which you're to build your spiritual life around. You study each of these in the previous chapters, in the previous lessons. But now we're going to go on to perfection. In Hebrews 6, 1-3, Paul gives an additional step which is necessary in building your spiritual life. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. So repentance from dead works, faith towards God, baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, eternal judgment are all principles of the doctrine of Christ. Two extremes are common among believers. One is that they have a knowledge of the Word of God, but do not apply that knowledge to their daily living. The other extreme is that believers emphasize experience and they ignore doctrine. So both doctrine and experience are very important. A proper understanding of doctrine results in experience, but experience that is not based on biblical doctrine is not trustworthy. So you must not only understand the basic doctrines of Hebrews 6, 1-3, but you must also experience them, because once you have built your life on these doctrines through experience, you must learn how to go on unto perfection, and that is the purpose of this lesson. So as a definition, the word perfection means complete, finished, and mature. The Bible uses the word perfection rather than maturity to describe a spiritually mature believer. A perfect Christian is one who has achieved spiritual maturity, and this means his body, soul, and spirit are under the control of the Holy Spirit. The word perfection is similar to the word sanctification or consecration, which are also used in the Bible. Sanctification means holiness, and consecration means to be set apart in righteousness. So there are two dangers, and the two dangers if a spiritual foundation are emphasized without attention to perfection are this. One danger is to lay a good spiritual foundation and not to go on to spiritual maturity. And the other danger is to attempt to build a superstructure of perfection on a faulty spiritual foundation. So what we want to do is complete the foundation. So a foundation is not a completed building. That's just the start. A superstructure must be built on the foundation. A superstructure is that part of a building which is visible above the foundation. And a good spiritual foundation is not the final goal for a believer. That's just the beginning. So Luke 14:29-30 says, lest happily after he hath laid the foundation, it is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. So, unfortunately, many people begin with God. They hear the gospel. They repent from their dead works. They have faith towards God. But they never progress beyond this point, and they never complete their spiritual foundation and then go on to perfection. A partial foundation in the natural world is not functional. You cannot construct a building on a partial foundation or it will collapse under stress. You must complete the foundation and then the structure of the building. Then you construct the building. So believers who have not completed their spiritual foundations will have difficulty under stress, and they will live up and down lives spiritually. Their spiritual building will not weather the storms of life because they cannot go on to perfection or spiritual maturity because their foundation is really incomplete. So what they have to do is build the superstructure. So in a natural world, a foundation alone is not very functional. It is the building constructed on that foundation that serves as a home, an office, a school, whatever. The reason some people are spiritually mature is because they only lay a spiritual foundation and they never finish the building by going on to perfection. And Paul spoke of these spiritually mature believers. He said this, that for when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's found in Hebrews 5:12-14. So Paul told the Corinthian believers that it was time that they should be teaching others the gospel, but instead they were having to be taught the first foundational principles of God all over again. He compared them to babies who could only drink milk. By milk, he meant the first principles of God. Milk is very healthy and it brings forth growth in the beginning, but when it comes a time, a baby has to go on to solid foods eventually. So Isaiah 28:9 says, "Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned for milk and drawn from the breasts." So just as weaning for milk is necessary in the natural world if a child is to really develop properly, it's also necessary in the spiritual world because believers must go beyond the first principles onto spiritual maturity or perfection. Spiritually mature believers are to be able to feast on meat, not just the milk of the Word of God. And this is the call to perfection. Jesus calls his followers to perfection when he says, "Be therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect," Matthew 5:48. And this perfection reflects the presence of God, because John 17:23 says, "I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one." It results in spiritual maturity. 1 Corinthians 14:20 says, "Brethren, be not children in understanding be men." Perfection was the goal of the early church, and Paul wrote about this in 2 Corinthians 13:9-11, "For this also we wish, even your perfection, be perfect." So individual perfection results in your being perfectly joined together with other believers in the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:10 says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and there be no division among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment." So divisions in the body of Christ are an example of spiritual immaturity. Well, the great thing is that we have a perfect example. Jesus is the example of perfection for believers. 1 Peter 2:21 says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." In Hebrews 2:10 it says, "For it became him for whom all things and by whom all things in bringing many sons unto glory to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." In Hebrews 5:9 it says, "And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him." So God planned that believers would be conformed or be made like Jesus, who is our example of perfection. Romans 8:29, it says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So the standard of perfection is that believers are measured by God's word, and Jesus was the example of perfection and conformed perfectly to the word because he was the visible revelation of God's word. God has set standards in his word which are to govern our lives, and the first standards he gave men were called the law, and they are recorded in the first five books of the Old Testament. Now, much of the Old Testament records the inability of man to keep God's laws. God knew man would not be able to keep the law through his own efforts. But God had some specific purposes for giving the law. One of the purposes of the law was to show men their sinful condition, and another purpose was to show them that they could not become righteous by their own efforts. In Romans 3:20, it says, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin." God did not leave us in this hopeless condition. Through the law, he promised the Messiah. We find that in Deuteronomy 18:18-19. He says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him." And in Acts 3:22-26, these same words are quoted by the Apostle Peter, and they're applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, various sacrifices were required by God for sin, and after Jesus sacrificed his life for sin for all mankind, the Old Testament sacrifices were no longer necessary. In Hebrews 10:1-14, it says, "For the law, having a shadow of good things to come, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." So the purpose of the law is summarized in these words, found in Galatians 3:22-24. "But the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto faith, which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith." So man could not keep the standards of a righteous God through self-effort. The law showed the need for a Savior and led man to Jesus Christ. It is through Christ, not through our self-effort, that we are perfected. It is through him that you are conformed to his example of perfection and to the standard of the word of God. In Hebrews 7:19 illustrates that. It says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope Christ did, by which we draw nigh unto God." Now I'd like to discuss the different levels of perfection. There are two levels of perfection. The first is initial perfection. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, Paul calls the believers saints, which means sanctified ones. Yet in the same letter, he corrects these saints because of sin, that they were believers and sanctified in Christ, but some of them were not living right in their daily conduct. These believers had received initial perfection. They were forgiven of their sins through redemption from dead works, and these sins were forgiven once and for all. Hebrews 10:14. This initial perfection was received at the time that they accepted Jesus as Savior, but these Christians had not gone on to perfection. They had not continued to put off the old man of sin. In Romans 6:6 it says, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and the body of sin might be destroyed, and henceforth we should not serve sin." Paul told them that it was not right to continue living in sin after conversion. He said in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. old things are passed away, and behold, all things become anew. So, as a believer, you should live a new life. It's not right to continue in sin. Paul said in Romans 6, 1, 2, and 4, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Therefore, we also should walk in newness of life." So we must go on to perfection. Then there's progressive perfection. Initial perfection from sin at the time of salvation is part of a progressive life of sanctification. After salvation, you are to live a new life in Christ. And that's found in Galatians 2:20. He says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." So Paul described a progressive perfection in his own life. Philippians 3:12, it says, "Not as though I'd already attained, either already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus." So Paul had not attained complete perfection, but that was his goal. He described his struggle for perfection in another passage, which we're going to look at right here. It says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do, I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present within me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I sing another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So Paul wanted to live by God's standards, but he realized that by himself or in his flesh, he could not achieve this goal. There was a constant battle between his flesh and his spirit. His spirit wanted to keep God's laws, according to verse 22, but his flesh wanted to sin. He discovered that the only way he could achieve perfection was through Christ. In Romans 8, 10, 11, and 13, it says, "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that hath raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So it's not only through the spirit of God that you can overcome the evil desires of the flesh and really conform to God's standards, but when the flesh results in you doing those things which you would not, God has provided a way to restore you to perfection. 1 John 1:9 says, "For if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So you don't need to try to live this new life in your own strength. You live it through faith in the Son of God. Whenever you fail, you can be restored to perfection before God by confessing your sins and asking forgiveness. When you are born again, you're just like a baby in the natural world. You have much to learn spiritually, and while you're learning, you're going to make mistakes. But when you make mistakes, you must confess your sins to God so that he can forgive you. As a believer, you're going to fight your enemy, who's Satan, and this is a spiritual battle which takes place in your mind and through the circumstances of life around you. And on occasion, you may lose a battle to the enemy, but this does not mean that he has won the war. You may temporarily go down in defeat, but through confession of your sins, you can rise again in righteousness to continue on to perfection. As you learned in the previous chapter, Jesus already judged Satan. Satan was defeated by Jesus at Calvary. The power of God is within you. is greater than the power of the enemy. Because 1 John 4, 4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So you go on to perfection through the strength of his power, not human effort. Going on to perfection is not a course in self-improvement. It is learning to live as a new creature in Christ. And you are to live through faith in Christ Jesus. So, in order to start the perfection process, the following things are necessary for that to occur in your life. The first is the good foundation. As we learn in this course, a good spiritual foundation is required to go on to perfection, according to Hebrews 6, 1-3. Then we have the response to the Word. One of the purposes of the Word of God is to provide correction which results in perfection. 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So just studying God's word will not perfect you. You must make a personal response to the word. James 1, 21-25 says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh unto the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed in his deed. So you must not only look into God's law, but continue to live it and live according to it. You must make a personal response to the word by laying aside all filthiness and naughtiness. Being a doer of the word brings assurance of our salvation. We find that in 1 John 2:5, it says, but whosoever keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby we know that we are in him. So that's how we know we're in him, by keeping his word. Then through prayer. Prayer results in perfection because Colossians 4:12 says, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Also by consecration, Romans 12:1-2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So by consecrating your life to God, you will know his perfect will. Consecration means to be set apart. When you consecrate your life to God, you refuse to conform to the standards of the world. You choose instead to conform to the standards of God's word. Also, we have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. One of the purposes of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is to assist the perfection process in your life. As you learned in the previous lesson, God has ministry gifts in the church. And it says in Ephesians 4:12-13, the perfection of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. We also do this through submission to proven ministries. God uses spiritual leaders in the perfection process. So you should submit to the leadership of those God sets in authority in the church. Submission to proven ministries means submitting to spiritual leaders whose ministries have shown conformity to God's word. The role of spiritual leaders in perfection process is revealed in Paul's writings. He says in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Or Colossians 1:28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. In Colossians 4:12, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God. In 2 Corinthians 13:9, this also we wish, even your perfection. So these should be the attitudes of the proven leaders, that they have a care for you, that they're praying for you, that they're working with you, that you may be perfect in Christ. Another is suffering. No one likes to suffer, but when suffering comes in the life of a believer, it can have a positive purpose, because suffering results in perfection sometimes as well. In 1 Peter 5:10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." Patience comes during times of suffering and results in perfection. In James 1:4 it says, "But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." Another is self-control. Part of the process of perfection is learning self-control. We are told in 2 Corinthians 7:1, that we are to cleanse ourselves with all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Now, one of the most difficult things to control is the tongue, but the control of the tongue is a key to self-control of your whole life. James 3:2 says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle his whole body." We also need to respond properly to spiritual correction. Correction received from mature believers is also a part of that perfection process. In Galatians 6:1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." So you'll be restored to perfection if you respond properly to such correction. So here's a summary of what we've learned so far. Spiritual maturity does not mean advancing in God's favor. It does not mean the work of salvation is incomplete. It does not gain you access to heaven, because this was done through the death of Jesus Christ. It is through Jesus you are justified before God, and it's through him that you're saved and have the promise of heaven. Perfection does not come by maintaining a set of standards. It is possible for a person to maintain standards and give an outward spiritual appearance, yet be unspiritual and maybe even unsaved. Spiritual maturity does not depend on how you feel emotionally. It does not come automatically through years of being a Christian or by Christian service. Spiritual maturity or perfection comes through an increase in application of spiritual knowledge, and that this increase in knowledge comes by study of God's Word. The study results in an understanding of the process of perfection and the commandments of our Lord Jesus Christ. Personal application of what you learn leads to spiritual maturity through the enabling of the power of God. So, to achieve perfection or spiritual maturity, we need to study the study of God's Word, which leads to an increase in spiritual knowledge. When applied through God's power, this leads to spiritual maturity or perfection. So, in closing, we've come to the conclusion in our study of the foundations of Christian faith. But in reality, we've not completed this course, because as Paul said, we must now go on to perfection. And that was found in Hebrews 6:1. So each chapter of this course began with a list of objectives. These were the goals which were to be achieved through the study of this chapter. Your new objective for the next chapter of your life is perfection. For this also we wish, even your perfection. 2 Corinthians 13:9. So it's my prayer that as you've gone through this program, through this particular course, that you've learned and that you're going to go take these and apply these principles and go on to perfection. So now go ahead and do your chapter self-test, and then go to the exam center and do your final exam and submit it, and you'll be ready to go on to the next course.
Thanks for listening to today's lesson. Sign up today and download your free digital lesson books when you join our free or low-cost accredited studies. For more information, visit us online at www.freebiblecollege.com.